This is Vatican Radio. Iraqi forces slowly advanced on Monday to retake the last patch of ground in Mosul, where Islamic State militants are holding on to a tiny sliver of the old city. The operation comes a day after the Prime Minister visited the soldiers to congratulate troops on the hard-fought battle. As the conflict comes to an end, the Norwegian Refugee Council is warning of the continued suffering of civilians. The spokesperson for the organisation in Iraq is Melanie Markham. She explained more to me, Lydia O'Kane, about the situation on the ground.
The major needs are for food, water and healthcare. The people in West Mosul especially have been under siege for months and have been cut off from food, water and medical supplies. So for those who fled, and especially for those who are still in the city, they have a very desperate need for those three things.
We're talking about supplies, and there's nothing in the city really. There's no infrastructure in the city, so that's problematic. Is it problematic getting things now into the city for them?
It is hugely problematic, and one of the primary concerns for us is the water supply, which has been almost completely knocked out. We have been trucking water to neighbourhoods in East Mosul for a number of months now, but have also been trying to reconstruct a water plant in West Mosul. But that has been, we've had extensive delays because it's very difficult to get heavy machinery in there, and the conflict has simply stopped us from moving into West Mosul to complete that construction and to get that supply online.
We should say that, I mean, there are people that remain in the city, but there are many, many hundreds of thousands that decided to leave. They fled the city. Obviously, for many of those, they would probably like to come back at some stage, but there isn't anything for them to come back to. With regard to, I mean, it's early days yet, but, I mean, a city like that will need to be rebuilt with all the necessities that people need.
That's true. And I know that already there's hospitals inside Mosul that have been set up to treat the wounded and the casualties from the conflict. We've been trying to rebuild schools in East Mosul and are looking at extending that work. But one of the huge problems for us is the number of unexploded bombs and landmines throughout the city. It's estimated that around 30% of schools have some kind of unexploded ordnance in there, so we can't go back into those places and rebuild until they've been removed. Despite that, you know, Mosul had the first university in the Middle East, and they're very proud of their educational culture. So there are teachers in East Mosul, even though they haven't been paid for 3 years, they're still conducting classes. So despite the horrific conditions, the people, the residents of Mosul, are showing tremendous resilience and determination to get their lives back to normal.
You mentioned there about unexploded ordnance, which the next question I was going to ask you, I mean, obviously for the people that are there, for the people that remain, I mean, despite the battle being over, it's still a very perilous, dangerous situation there for them, though.
It is. It's a very dangerous situation. Sadly, Iraqis are accustomed to conflict. And when I speak to families here, they tell me that their children know the difference between the sound of a firecracker and gunfire, between the sound of a thunderclap and a mortar. So it is very dangerous, but there is an awareness, a very high awareness of the kind of situation they're in and how precarious it is. And Iraqis do their best to cope with that.
I noticed that the Norwegian Refugee Council has been helping people who have been separated from families, that people who have been displaced don't know where a family member is, that you're providing information and help to them.
We are. We're providing information actually to try to prevent the separation of families to begin with. So to make sure that people have phone numbers. One of our other main programs is to provide legal advice, because every child who was born under ISIS occupation doesn't have a birth certificate. Couples who were married under ISIS occupation don't have marriage certificates. And these basic forms of identification are a huge problem across Iraq. They stop people from travelling, but also lead to family separation, because if a child becomes lost or separated from their parents, they can't be properly identified, and then they can't be reunited with their families.
It is a huge task, isn't it, and there'll be many actors who will have to play their part. I mean, there'll be the Iraqi government themselves, obviously there'll be aid agencies, but also I imagine the international community to really help rebuild a city, as you say, that has such a university, build it back to its former glory, as it were.
I agree. And as a university town, I mean, I would liken it to a city like Oxford or Cambridge being partially destroyed. This is really what Iraqis have lost. It's not just the water and schools. It's this heritage and, you know, this educational heritage, a beautiful ancient city that they've lost. And it's not just an internal conflict. There have been international governments involved in this conflict. So really, as much as they were involved in the Battle of Mosul, we also have a collective responsibility to help Iraqis, to help the people of Mosul rebuild after this battle ends.